Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big podcast. This is the show where we talk about the simple and yet complicated ideas of self-improvement. Tune in and join us as we become the best versions of ourselves, just so that you guys can too. And remember to like and subscribe for more. Today we were fortunate enough to bring on the CEO and founder of Blackout Training and the co-founder of The Fence Podcast with us. So with that being said, Mitch, come on in.
Let's go, Mitch. Gotta finish his
How you doing?
What's up?
You.
So, Mitch, we brought you on today because we want to talk about how you really got started with everything. You have this successful business going, and then a lot of people adore your quote-unquote lifestyle. So why don't you tell us how it started in the first place?
Yeah, so how far back did we go? Let's just go from COVID. Okay. All right, so I was a bartender and personal trainer at the Knack. And I think most of you guys are familiar with that, right?
You were a bartender too? You were at the bar?
Bartender, yeah. Oh, sweet. So I was a bartender and, yeah.
Yeah, that's
How long ago was that?
So this was probably like 2.5-3 years leading up to COVID. And that's why I was asking about Julian and all that stuff, because there was like a lot of cuts and different people coming in.
I joined in 2022, late 2022.
2022, okay, so it was after my time. I came back briefly when they reopened after COVID, because they wanted my expertise helping restart the bar and train the new bartenders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was training there, you know, 2 years leading up to that. And then I'd had an idea pre-COVID, because, you know, I'm from the trailer parks. Like, I was born in Philadelphia, grew up in Levittown area. You guys familiar?
Yes, sir.
Near Penwood Crossing?
That doesn't ring a bell.
That's all right. That's all right. And anyway, so, you know, being around money was a little bit different. And so at the Knack, when I was training there, I realized how much of a high, like, how high of a price tag people place on their health. And, like, they have a different budget than the average Joe Schmo. And so I had had this idea. I was like, oh, wow, these people have this budget for fitness. And I was actually – I had gotten a DUI years ago, right? So I was sitting in my Uber. I would Uber between my three jobs. And I was talking to this one Uber, and he was talking about this business, this mobile car wash business that would, like, show up with these eco-friendly mats that would soak up all the suds so it wouldn't run into your grass, right? And it was, like, this whole service. And I was like, I bet Newtown could benefit from a personal training service that was all-inclusive, right? Because what's more precious than your time, as I said to all of you guys as you were asking about my business. So anyway, so I had the idea before COVID. I pitched it off of some of my business owner clients, and then COVID came to town, and it just kind of felt like the right time, kind of like a now or never, right?
That's a great fucking idea, solving that problem for them, especially when COVID hit.
Yeah.
Seizing the opportunity, you took it. My first question is, where the fuck does the Knack have a bar?
You don't know about that?
They have like a whole like water resort outside and stuff like that. Dude, we went there. Dude, you were literally there at the Knack. He was there at the Knack a couple months ago.
No, I actually didn't see it either.
Outside? Outdoor?
You know where the pool was? Outside. It's outside. We left our towels there.
You went in the kitchen.
Wait, doesn't that sound really counterintuitive to have a bar at a gym though?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, but it's freaking
Newtown.
He literally
walked next to the bar. I've been there like once or twice.
Well, you might not realize it's a bar, I guess. You know what I mean?
I think Fusion. I wasn't focusing on the bar.
They have a cold plunge at the Knack now?
They did. It was like for an event.
A trainer brought it there.
Huh, okay. That's pretty sick. Was it inside?
Outside.
Well,
the training was inside, obviously, but the cold plunge was outside.
Okay.
So how did you actually get started with... You know, you had the idea. What made you take action on it?
Right. So, you know, I was able to talk to a bunch of business owners, and they were all giving me positive feedback. Mm-hmm. And then COVID came to town, and I don't know if you guys are younger than me. So just list all your ages real quick.
19, 18, 20.
Right. So, but you've probably still, you know, had an experience where you had a great idea or you had a thought. Maybe you wrote it down, maybe you didn't, but maybe it nagged in the back of your mind. And either you did it or you somehow talked yourself out of it. You ever hear the term paralysis by analysis?
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people's problem, I feel like. They have these great ideas. It could absolutely be viable and very successful. But the more research they do, the more they look at the numbers and, you know, like the statistics of how few businesses actually succeed, they're going to, like, talk themselves out of it or just, like, sit on it. But so – I didn't want to do that, and I just thought to myself, like, if I don't do it, then I'll just always, like, regret it because I won't know. Would it have worked? Yeah. Would it have not? And so I just freaking did it.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think people don't, like, they have these big ideas, but they don't execute it?
Very simple.
How's it simple?
Scary. Well, so my greatest
unknown.
My greatest strength is my greatest weakness. It's I'm more of, like, I like to call myself a man of action. And so a lot of times, like, I have a good idea or an idea, good or not. That's always subjective, right? But, and so I just do it without doing any research. And that's kind of what I did with Blackout Training.
That's part of your identity. Like, you call yourself a man of action.
Right.
As you think so, you are.
Blessing and a curse, you know?
I'd say it was more of a blessing.
And then I just figured it out as I went. Yeah. Whereas other people, they do all the research and know all the numbers beforehand. Me, I do that on, like, the back end, if that makes sense.
But don't you think sometimes looking into it can be more scary? And, like, you overthink more. And then that's when you might be like, well, it's not worth it.
That's the paralysis by analysis, man.
Yeah, it can right. be both ways.
Here's the typical, Hormozi explains it. First is, you see a friend that's doing extremely well in that business space. So you think, oh, awesome. If he can do it, why can't I? So you have this extreme high hope. And then you can actually do it, and you realize, fuck, this is 10 times harder than I thought it
was. It's false hope syndrome.
It's false hope. But if you are able to surpass that point, there's where everything is, everything gets good. It's just exceeding that point where you realize that it's not as easy as it is. Only 1% make it. But if you continue to push forward, and you can't just show up, you have to there's levels of preparation towards it. Mm-hmm. If you show up and you prepare hella, then that's where you get you explode the bubble.
Yeah. You see, here's the thing. I love the way you said that too, because, like, literally a year and a half ago, I was managing like 4 different things. I was learning cryptocurrencies, like day trading, drop shipping, and like remote closing, right? All 4 of those. And I was taking simple notes.
Impressive. That's awesome, man. Good research. No, I love that. That's
obviously didn't make a single profit on any of those. Right. It wasn't too impressive.
Okay, but you're dabbling.
Here's the thing. It was paralysis analysis. And why? I didn't know which one to choose. What everyone says is you pick one, like, high income skill, whatever, and you just stick to it, right? Which is what I should have done. There's the argument of, oh, I'd rather be the jack of all trades, blah, 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 whatever. But if you want to be, like, the greatest at one of them, you have to stick to that. The reason why I couldn't do all 4 and the reason why I think paralysis analysis even occurs is because of this thing called clarity. I had a lack of clarity on which would be the right decision. Because when I'm deciding between all those 4 things, I want to make sure that I don't fuck up. I want to make sure that I choose the one that will get me to the highest level of success possible, right? And there's that lack of clarity. But the problem is that clarity is what stunts you. It stuns you. It keeps you frozen there and doesn't let you progress. What you should have done is you just have to go with one option and just stick with it. Because that's how you actually will get clarity. You'll understand through that process, yeah, this isn't for me. Let me go on and try the next one.
Conversely, I mean, you're all in college, right?
No.
No.
These two, we're not.
All right, but you've been in college. Like, you all graduated.
Well, high school, yeah.
Okay, all right. So something I see a lot is kids, you know, they, at a young age, you know, you're forced to pick a major. And then that's going to be the rest of your life. And something you see all the time, and I'm sure you guys can relate, is people changing that major once they get a little bit of the taste of whatever it is they thought they wanted. And so how will you have any clarity if you don't dip your toes in all the different pools?
Mm-hmm. And that's true. It's just the idea that, you know, whatever that you like, you have to really fully send it the furthest with. And so whatever, you know, major that you
So I applaud you for trying all those 4 different things. Did you settle on one?
What?
Did you settle on one?
Day trading. Yeah, I did settle on one. So
I got some hookups for you on that as well. I have a older client of mine. He owns a catering company, and then he day trades in all of his free time, and he has like a professional coach. He's gone through like 3, and that's a freaking journey too, man. There's no get rich quick.
All of them. All of them. They're
generous. You're gonna have to invest yourself. You're gonna have to lose a little.
Exactly. A lot of guys, like a lot of people my age, they were really sold that get rich quick. It just goes right into the narrative of the instant gratification world that we live in. And so when all these gurus were out here, drop shipping, make money like tomorrow super or some fast. Shit,
I know.
It really just fucked with everyone's heads. And once they tried it, once they like, wow, like I can try drop shipping, like Josh said, they're like, wow, like, you know, they thought it was really hard, and now they don't do it. Yeah. So it's like, a lot of people my age got fucked with that. You know what I mean? A lot of people did.
It's because of social media a lot.
Yeah.
And people are very good salespeople. You know, and so you're going to click on that clickbait, and you're going to – I hope nobody bought like a free course or anything. Well, I guess it wouldn't be free if you bought
I bought a lot of courses.
But you get the free course, and then you pay for the additional. Yeah, right.
It's all part of this.
You know, and it's just about play to your strengths, I think.
I remember watching one of you guys' podcasts. It was the Calories In, Calories Out podcast.
Okay.
And you guys are talking about how a lot of these people on social media, especially influencers, they teach things that like that they think is certain. Like they're certain, oh, if you do this, like you're good, but no way is the way. Like you guys mentioned,
there's no one way, right?
Exactly. Like everyone's different, so therefore, it's like that's why you need a personal trainer to kind of customize yourself to your whatever they want to do.
Right.
But what do you think about like?
I want to before you.
Everybody butt the fuck in.
I want to speak on the behalf of you guys talking about that clarity stuff. I think I watched a video that explained it perfectly. And Mitch, I want to hear your thoughts on this, which is it's the, I don't even know the name of the method, but it's basically two things. One is you have a focus. You have to be focused on a specific subject. So, for example, you should be focused on day trading because that's what you want to pursue. Whatever it is, rather than ever being...
Josh, talking to Mike.
I'm sorry. Rather than just pursuing only one, there's three options. You pursue only one, you focus that, which was what you say. That, then you lose the opportunity of finding new networking opportunities, different shit like that. You're still 20 years old. 18. Fuck. My own brother. And then there's you don't want to go fucking explore six different shit. You get nothing out of it because you never. So the thing that he said is it's focus. You focus on one, but you never exclude any other opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect method, especially for our age. Maybe a little different for you, but.
I'm not that old. Come here, break. I know you're not. Calm down. I know you're not. But.
Bro took that personally.
That approach, rather, and I really love this, the idea of being, let's say you want to be a lawyer, focus on being a lawyer, but don't ever shut down any other opportunity presented towards you.
So what do I think about that approach? I think that is life. Find something that you can be as passionate about as possible. A job is a job, it's a job, it's a job, regardless of how passionate, how much you love it, right? And that's what I'm doing right now. I was lucky enough to ride that wave up during COVID. The business was successful. I brought people on my team. I got 5 people working for me, girls and gals. You know, I'm able to live off that, okay, and scale. And now I'm exploring the podcast. Me and my wife launched a – it's a very slow launch, and it's like a slow process. We're doing it in our free time, but we have a Launch Lab Syndicate is another one of our businesses. And so it's to help. It's usually, you know, technically like an 8 to 12-week course trying to teach the in and outs. Legal, creative, social media marketing of launching a business for a service-based business. And so now I'm able to explore other options, you know, and see what else I want to fall in love with or make money with.
That's sick. Can you break that down for me? Like, how did you get started with that?
Launch Lab?
Yeah.
Well, my wife, she owns, it's called Let's Learn Tutoring. She launched that during college and did it part-time, and then once she had her teaching degree, she taught for almost a year, I think, and realized how, you know, flawed the educational system is, and so then took it full-time, and now she's got a W-2 employee. She just hired a part-time. She's got over 10 to 15 people working for her. They're international. She makes money, and so if anything, she's definitely a better business owner than I am, just collectively kind of combined our knowledge, and so we're just trying to pursue that slowly, low and slow.
So it's all like it's not niched down into one thing, just more.
It's niched to service-based industries.
Okay, which though that's like all around because you mentioned like a whole bunch of different things, but they're strictly like for services.
So service-based industry would just apply to like anything that you are working with a client on. So it could be teaching, could be personal training, could be. I mean, anything, you name it, anything that you are one-on-one, face-to-face with a client and you're selling a service where you're there with that client as opposed to like, you know, drop shipping or virtual training, stuff like that. If that
is
makes
this
sense.
Done with you, done for you, or do it yourself?
This is, we teach you whatever it is you need to know. We have a template and then whatever caters to you most will you know, make sure you're educated on it.
I think it's really safe to assume your child, whatever gender, is going to have a business themselves.
I hope so. When I was younger, I had a landscaping business. I cut lawns.
Oh, yeah? That's hard.
And then I got into the service industry, and I was like, oh, this is more money, less physical labor. But, you know, then I launched my business, and I was like, oh, I was always supposed to own a business.
Mm-hmm. Were you, like, afraid before to launch your business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like what really put you over the edge, you know what I mean, to actually go ahead and do it even though you felt fear?
Just the thought of, like, living the rest of my life not knowing what could have happened.
Yeah. It goes right back to what you were saying earlier, right?
Yeah.
And I know Sasha was like talking about like clarity, like this whole thing about clarity, and like so many people are uneducated about so many things, like fitness wise, nutrition wise, there's so much information, it's so much, it's like scrambled, right?
Right.
And so people like us, like that's why we want to start a podcast, right? To kind of give people the right information, or, you know what I mean? So
At least the things that we knew that other people might not.
Right, you can only share, and that's why you have guests on.
Yeah.
To share the things you're not knowledgeable on. Right. That's exactly why we have guests on our show.
My question is, like, how do you stay focused, right? How do you, like, actually, with the whole, like, all this information being flown around, like, how do you stay focused and stuff?
How do you stay clear in your head?
Yeah. How do you have that clarity?
That's more a like a routine question. That you might do. Like, say your diet, fitness, like, everything that you tie into your life that gives you clarity.
Well, I will say, fitness-related topic, you know, I've always been into sports, and then transitioned into weightlifting as I got out of high school. And
what sport did you play?
Basketball, mostly. I played a year of soccer. I played a couple years of flag football, but basketball, I used to be a baller. Okay. I don't know about now so much. I'm a lot heavier. But as far as fitness related, I've gone through highs and lows. When I launched, you know, I've gone through unhealthy phases in my life, maybe where, you know, I didn't make the time for my fitness, or and then launching a business and being a personal trainer. Like, sometimes, like, dude, imagine working in a gym all day and then you got to make time to work out in the same gym. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you want to just get home. Like, right. So you know, I've slacked off at times, but I always find that when I am consistently physically active, then I am my best self and I'm more
productive,
magnetic, productive, you know, just charismatic.
I was going to say that. Charismatic.
Yeah. And just, like, in general, like, well-being, too.
The blood's flowing. The testosterone's higher. You feel more in touch. Yeah, you know, like, so, I mean, I don't know if that answered your question at all, actually. I feel like that was just a part of the answer.
My question wasn't really too specific. It was kind of...
It was a little broad, yeah.
That's my fault. But, where I was trying to get at is, I know, like, you and Gar talked about, like, how a lot of people, like, a lot of influencers, their information is, like, kind of mistruthed, like... How do you kind of shuffle that out and
thank
kind
you
of
for breaking
give
that down.
The right information?
Right. So it's all subjective. And I'm a big advocate for there's no one way to do anything, whether it be fitness or not. And so as a personal trainer, I guess, you know, and as a lover of fitness, you just need to make sure you're educated. I always say we're perpetual students, because, like, you can get a certification, but then, you know, half a year down the line, 50% of the crap that I was taught, I actually disagree with now, and I form my own opinions. So just, like, educating yourself, practicing it in the field in real life.
How can they get educated?
How can they get educated? Follow At The Fence podcast.
link in the description. I forgot to mention that.
How did you personally get educated? Through experiences? Through, like, learning certain things? Listen to
people? I'm an advocate for more certifications is not the better. Like, get the certifications that pertain to what you want to be good at, and then you need field experience and you need to do your own research. YouTube, freaking Google, use it. It's a huge asset. It's a resource. Read a lot of books, you know, get your specialty certifications, but more certifications doesn't mean you're a better trainer.
Doesn't mean you know what you're doing, just because
right.
you passed a couple tests.
Right, dude, you gotta live it. You gotta live it.
So anyone can regurgitate information.
Right. 100%.
It's about whether or not you can implement it.
Yeah. I hope that answered your question.
No, it did. I think so.
Very, very well.
But yeah, just you gotta believe it in your heart. One of the core values at Blackout Training is but you need to develop the courage and confidence within yourself to lead people in what you believe to be right.
Oh.
And if you don't believe it in your heart, how are you going to sell something? You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, I have like that confidence.
Yeah.
He said it himself, what is it you told me yesterday? Well, if you're a salesman, you have to be honest.
The best sales technique is one, knowledge about your product, and two, confidence.
You got to believe in
it. Volumes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They speak more than anything. That's why the clickbaits works, is you can confidence, I think, is something that you can, it's like energy.
It is exactly. Yeah, that's all confidence
you.
Really is.
You know when somebody's confident. You can just see it by their expression. It's a facial.
Absolutely.
Not facial, I'm sorry, body language.
And it's obvious too when it's there. Like you won't
honesty has to be one of them too.
Yeah, that's what I said. Honesty. Oh, did I not?
You said knowing the product and confidence.
The point that
I
actually was talking about yesterday, was the best technique is on, or was it today?
Yesterday.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
There's three core pillars.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear more from Sadula over there.
What do you
want
to hear?
I was actually
going to ask you how you got started in fitness.
Yeah, don't hold back.
Where did the idea of, like, why'd you transition to weightlifting? How about that?
Great
from
question.
Sports.
Yeah. So, you know, played basketball, got into it like fifth, sixth grade, kind of late, I guess, as far as, you know, kids are like doing peewee leagues and stuff, you know, but I didn't have direct access till middle school. And then I just wanted to be stronger and better. I'm a very competitive person. And I eventually got into like body weight workouts, I think like 9th or 10th grade, then got a Planet Fitness membership and didn't really start truly strength training until I was like 21, but I was always just, I want to be better than you. Like, I hated losing.
Very, were you just not as muscular and that's what you...
I was very lean, very quick, very fast, lean. You know, just okay. Wiry, and then okay. The true strength training, I'd be happy to help any of you guys with that, by the way. Compound lifts, man.
Sounds good.
And then now here I am, not as athletic at all. Well, but I'm a hybrid, and that's why I said I'm not. I don't identify as a bodybuilder, right? Like, I don't want to just be good at one thing. I want to be good at all of them. And so I'm a little, like, also, too, on the fence about that whole jack of all. I think you should be a jack of all, and then you'll find organically that one thing you want to be the best at. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, how are you going to have that clarity?
I want to speak on – I'm sorry. I've been questioning that competitiveness.
Yeah.
So I've actually been questioning – someone asked me what's my drive, and I would consider it, and I've been thinking about it. And that's one of the two reasons. That's something I found that I was actually born with. Well, my mom says. There was not a single point where I wasn't competitive. I don't know if it's similarity to you.
Probably.
Do you think that's something that can be hereditary? Or do you think that's something that has to be learned?
That's a great question, man. Great question.
I've been spending the last 3 days
trying to. I will say my dad doesn't have it. I'm very different than my father. I'm very different from both of my brothers. I think my little brother, we look a lot more alike. We're both much more similar, but I don't really see me in that aspect in any of my siblings or family. So I don't think it is hereditary. I think it's underdog mentality, maybe.
I think it's something learned. I think it's a gift, being competitive. Not everybody's competitive, and not everybody has that strong competitiveness in them. But it is also a very strong tool that can be, if it's misused, then it can be a bad thing.
I was going to say, yeah, because it's a double-edged sword.
But if you have it...
I can tell Mike wants to say something.
If you have it, you got to use it. Yes, because not everybody has it.
Let me ask you
too. But it's also something that's learned.
Why do you guys feel like you always need to win? What are you winning for? What is the competition?
So on his point, Sadura, I would say blessing and a curse. And my wife has it too. It's just, I have ADHD. As does my wife. So imagine that freaking dynamic at our house. We're both alphas, you know.
Yeah.
But it can be a curse because if you're not careful, then you're never satisfied with where you are. And you ever hear the saying, like, if you have anxiety and you live it in the future, if you have depression and you live it in the past, and if you have peace and you're living in the present. We don't live enough in the present enough as super high achievers. And so you're almost always just looking to the next thing. And so how it's hard to have clarity that way. It's hard to ever, like, be happy in the moment that way. On your day off, sometimes you can't stop but think you should be doing more. So it's a blessing and a curse. And if you're not careful, then it can roll your life. And, like, imagine living your whole life like that. Then you never enjoyed a moment of your life. You never felt like you got there. Yeah. So, like, I think goal setting is very important if you have that drive, because then you can at least, like, know those milestones.
It's easier to build, like, the path for it.
Right.
Can you repeat that? So it's... living in the present is peaceful. We're past the
future is anxiety. Future. Depression is past.
Anxiety. Okay.
Right, right, right.
I don't know what the freak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
I hate losing. That's my answer.
What do you hate losing? I said my take. What's your thought on what he said?
Huh? What do you hate losing?
I hate the idea that someone can do better than me.
Why?
Why?
What makes them?
I believe I can be great, and for someone to beat me means that I did something wrong. If someone outworked me, right, there are going to be people more talented than me, but I never want to get outworked.
Well said,
that's something
well said.
That I can control. And if you're outworking me, I have a problem. It bugs me inside, you know? So what it is that bugs me, I'm trying to find that answer. Mm-hmm. But I do not want to lose to you. I don't want to lose to Mitch. I don't want to lose to Seth.
Good luck with that.
And I never will to.
Now you sound like a smart kid, man.
Notice how I didn't say Sadula.
I need to know more about the brother dynamic. Like, who's the big dog? Who's the alpha?
I bitch him every time. You can already tell.
Yeah.
Look at this.
All he ever says is he preaches insecurity. That's all you ever say.
Throw me in ones with anything, and Josh will come out on top.
Yeah.
Anything sure. But soccer.
And what's the brother's name in Georgia?
Anything but
his name is Georgie.
Georgie from Georgia. And how old is he?
He's what is he, 20?
Same
age. Same age. So he come and roll the roost, or?
They're twins.
You guys are twins?
Dude, I have a twin.
What it's like being the smarter, the stronger,
you're not smarter.
The faster.
You're not
smarter. Yo, he made more shots the other day in basketball.
The only thing you can do is wrestle, bro.
I get it. No, but when we play ones, I always clamp him up.
Yeah?
I always beat him in ones.
Sash, I always beat you as a kid.
As a kid.
I love this rivalry. This is great.
So here's the thing. I won't disagree with that. As a kid, I was a weak, shriveling little pussy. Now that I'm here, different levels, I'll wipe you in anything.
What can you beat me up?
Everything okay. But soccer.
Everything.
Matter of fact, we'll test this shit out after the podcast.
Define everything. Just give me two.
Any sport that's not soccer or ping pong. If you want to count ping pong.
What sport have you ever beat me in?
I don't get it.
Basketball.
Great.
You got brothers? Oh my god.
No, I don't.
Are you serious?
Get it.
I like steps siblings, but they're younger.
Let's look past this. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember me and my brother were like literally like that too.
Yeah.
I feel like it got to a point where it wasn't, I guess we didn't really have to talk like back and forth saying like, oh, I'm better or you're better, that kind of stuff. But I remember that like whenever we did something together that involved me being against him, it was always like head-to-head competition.
That's having a brother, man. That's part of life. Like
It is really like the driving factor that moves both of you up. That's why having siblings, especially if it's like both men and stuff, is a very, very good driving factor.
Yeah, I'm one of five, so I have like a healthy mix, I guess.
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm the middle child. No, it's boy, girl, me, girl, boy.
Damn, yeah.
And at a certain point when I was a teenager, I was able to kind of like manhandle my older brother. I almost wish I had like a real strong older brother who used to slap me around. Bro. You know what I mean? Too, like, I feel like it would have made me even tougher, you know?
Yeah, me too, bro.
Don't you think that also almost...
He wants to come over and slap you around right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't slap him. Like,
I was going to say, don't you think that also... like manifests the competitiveness to reality, and also something that also like awakes that competitiveness that you have in you.
I think it's important.
More.
Yeah, you need to have like an arch nemesis, even if they're a good guy, right? Like I know that I remember this guy, two guys, Justin in my class, who used to crush on his cousin, but he was always kind of like a douche, and he was just like a little harder than I was in high school.
What did you need to mention? What? I'm sorry, my brain did not process that. He used to crush on his cousin.
His cousin, it was a girl. Did that not make sense?
No. Wait, he crushed the ball. Well,
no, he used to have a crush on his cousin.
Yeah, that doesn't make it any better, though. Like, that just...
My friend?
Your friend had a crush.
No, I had a crush on Justin's cousin.
Oh my God.
So Justin was my friend.
I thought you were saying Justin had a crush on his cousin.
Oh, no. Oh, did I word that weird?
No, you didn't. It was
my articulation. I don't know what I said.
What the fuck?
But anyway, so this kid, he's still a good friend of mine. He's in the Navy, you know. But he was just always a little harder, a little more like abrasive. You know, and I was like I'm still more on the sensitive side as guys go. And so he would just kind of like bully you if you let him, and eventually like I just remember, so it was good friendly competition, it was good for me. And then this other guy, Chad, he was on an opposing basketball team, and he would crush my ass in my younger years on the team. And over the summer when I would practice, I would just the whole time I'm just like, fuck you Chad, I'm gonna come back and beat you. And I did eventually, you know, I put on weight and I would crush him down low. But I think that's important to have that like underdog mentality.
That and the fact that it's healthy competition.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see me and Josh have like little spurts like that, but it's the same thing with me and Sadula mentioned. Like, it's a double-edged sword. It's a blessing and a curse. Like, if you're too competitive, and then you what you'll do is you often compare yourself to way too many people.
Which is terrible,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Like, that alone speaks for itself. So you need to be able to balance it, and it needs to be healthy. Like, with my friend, every time we go to the gym together, right, like, we always push each other to put on more weight and really push ourselves further. Not in a rivalry way, just in a competition way, but in the back of our head, it's still the idea of like I want to be stronger than this person.
Right, so. And I'm sure you guys have heard you become an average of the five people you hang around the most. Yeah. This seems like a pretty good room. You all seem like you have your heads level. You know, you got priorities, you got ambition, and so you want to surround yourself with people that are better than you. And that's an uncomfortable thing to do, but if you're not, and you're always downplaying, then you're not going to grow.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about it. A lot of people want to look like they're the best. They're the best.
Me too. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sucks when you're the
part. Of course, man. Other dudes are going to intimidate you. Other dudes are bigger than you, or they have more going on, or maybe they make more money. You don't know, but like, it's important to be around people like that.
Yeah, it's fine, because the one that typically has to say it is
go-to friends, the ones that you speak on. Because I think that's right now is we're on the largest loneliness crisis, especially our age. But I don't even know if that resembles.
What do you mean? Just because of like social media and people distance themselves and like having that hard face at school or whatever, right? Like,
exactly. We very thankfully have found our group, but I know a lot of people that don't.
Well, at a young age, that's important. And I have my core group, and I was lucky. I went to a private school, and you know, we grew up together. It was a Christian school, which I got kicked out of before my senior year. That's a whole other story. But I'm still in touch with that group of like five people, and it's just like, oh, they're always driving themselves, they're getting PhDs, they're all always just like getting new certifications and just like working to better themselves. And then, you know, Gar. Gar is, he doesn't look approachable, right? Like, who met him? You met him? You met him at the neck, right? Yeah. Right. And did I see a comment or something? I saw a comment or something, or maybe like a, it was in a video, and some, one of you guys congratulated him on having the balls to approach Gar in the first place.
I was literally just going to mention that, too. Yeah. As we said that, Gar goes, the only reason why I approached him is because of my arm.
Oh, because you didn't swing? He's an injured bird. Like.
That's how I introduced him. I was like, props to Fricker for even coming up to me.
Yeah, no, really.
Wait, Fricker, is that how you felt or no?
What?
Like, you approached him because
he first, like, he was intimidated. It wasn't even about the sling. Like, what happened was, I saw him working out in the first place. He did look intimidating, not going to lie. But I saw him, this woman left her phone on, like, the bench, and he got off the treadmill, and because she was about to leave, and he grabbed her phone, and they chased after her and, like, gave her phone, and he came back, hopped on the treadmill next to me. At the time, I was doing a 30-day challenge where I talked to one new person every day.
Nice.
And he was he's the first guy I ever talked to. I was like, fuck it. Yo, dude, what you did was actually pretty nice of you. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah. And then he's on the podcast, and then boom, now we're here. Now you're here.
That's awesome, man. But that's organic, like, chemistry. You know, and that's super wholesome. I mean, that's how I mean. I'm not looking to make new friends. I really am not. I've been that guy to have a million friends. And actually, when I got my DUI years and years ago, it made me realize that, like, not all friends, just because it's like a drinking buddy or a hangout buddy, doesn't mean it's a friend. Because, like, where do all those people go when you're not able to show up anymore, you know, and they have to go out of their way to, like, make time for you. And so now, like, I keep the smallest circles possible. I'm not looking to make new friends, but Gar was an organic, you know, my buddy Jay, who owns a business in town, hooked us up. Super great guy. He just started his own podcast. You know, we all got a collab, but And he hooked me up with Gar, and then me and Gar, he's just like, he's got a big heart. He's freaking original. He's genuine, which is hard to find in big masculine motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Everybody just always trying to act tough, act cool. Like, I say fuck that. I say be goofy, be retarded, and make friends with people who you want to
be yourself.
Be associated with.
Be yourself, like. There's been like this like be mysterious type of.
Especially as you're younger, you know? Like, yeah. Everybody, dude, I hate. For you, the age you're all at. I can't wait till you're 30. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
I hope you're right.
A little more wisdom, a little less facade, a little less BS, a little less, I don't know.
Well, you're technically hitting the age where you care most about people's opinions, according to science.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But then you start, as a child, you don't care. Then you become that age where financial status.
Teenager, that's brutal. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Around his age is when financial status matters and all this status, blah, blah, blah. I guess,
really?
But then once you hit 60, you realize none of it mattered at all. Mm. And no one ever cared about you because they cared about themselves.
That makes sense. But your circle when you're 30, I would assume, is a lot smaller than when it is as a teenager.
For sure, right?
So I would think maybe that has a... I'm not going to
die. I think I would agree that that's probably traditionally correct. But I would say like being a business owner, and I think some of you guys in this room, I don't know. I know you're doing the podcast stuff and all that, and that's technically a business.
I have a car detailing business, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And how long have you been doing that now? Is it a year?
Almost a year. It's going to be a year in August.
And is that full time? Doing other stuff on the side?
Well, obviously, the podcast, fitness, car detailing. But, you know, it's the type of thing where it kind of depends on how many customers you get. But eventually, I'm guessing
you want to transition to full time, right?
It will be like one of the priorities for sure.
Right. And I think any business owner, like, your emotional development, if it's not I don't know if you guys know any statistics about, like, the amount of business owners who fail, first off, and then have, like, substance abuse issues, mental illness, stuff like that. It's not like you either have to figure the heck out and get in touch with yourself and stay on top of your mental and physical well-being, or you're going to fizzle out. You're going to fade. And so I think as business owners, you're kind of like on an accelerated timeline as far as all of those, like you were just talking about, as far as caring about what people think. As a business owner, you kind of got to learn not to.
Absolutely.
Very early on.
Yeah, you're so right, because if I need to approach somebody, like sometimes I need to tell them like about my business, or like tell them like to give me a review, whatever. It's so many thoughts that go in the back of your mind on why you shouldn't do it, or like talk yourself out of it. But whenever you do it, it's like a step closer to having that mentality that no matter like who declines you or who says no, it doesn't matter. You just have to keep trying.
Can't take it personal.
Yeah.
And my wife would say this. She would say, and it's very important to be able to separate your personal emotions, right? And like, business owner, and she's like a freaking machine, dude. She can just like cut it off, and she just gets this like stone cold look on her face, and she's just the most professional, but also like stone cold killer when she needs to be. But then like she can also be super personal, you know, personable. And so, yeah, and it's gonna come a time for you. Just a little bit of advice for you. It's gonna come a time in any industry for any business owner where you need to be either be all in or not. And what I mean by that is just like, you know, you might have some side hustles on the side because your business is slowly growing. You might not have enough money to make ends meet. But eventually, you're going to have to make a decision like, am I 100% in or not? And then once you commit 100%, your business is going to grow faster because now you're just going to be like, and something I will say to everybody is you need to knock on every door, if that makes sense. So like, just keep throwing shit at the wall until something sticks. And once you commit 100%, your business is guaranteed because then you're sitting there with your extra time instead of making money for somebody else. And a little bit for you, you're going to be sitting there like brainstorming, what can I do differently? What can I do more of or less of? How else can I mark my shoulders too broad if just fell on it like a table? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
That was.
Do you know Alex Ramosi? I'm assuming.
I think you were. That sounds so familiar.
Did we already talk about him?
Is that the YouTube guy you were telling me about?
Definitely. I definitely did, yeah.
You had him on as a guest, right?
No, that was Roman Sharp. No.
I recognize the name, but no.
Imagine,
I,
yo, he's come on. Where's he at? Yeah, Alex Ramosi, where you at?
Just give him a shout out and fight him right now.
He actually started by Gym Launch. Have you heard of Gym Launch?
Gym Launch?
No.
Still what is it?
He recently started like school, right? The school thing?
Yeah.
Is he a local guy?
No.
Okay. Tell me who he is and then maybe it'll ring a bell.
He's projected to be a billionaire in the next couple of years.
All okay.
Right? But he started as actually a gym owner, physical space planning. But I think you could definitely, if I recommend anyone upon you, especially since he's in your niche, absolutely check him out after this.
Alex,
I was listening to his podcast today, and it was basically the levels of preparation. And what I mean by that is when you realize you can't ever be in jack of all trades, once you realize how much preparation comes into being the best at just one thing, I promise you the best auto detailer is doing 100 times more than you right now.
Yeah.
And that's the preparation
it takes. That cuts deep.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. 10, it's not 2 times more. It's not 3 times. It's 100 times more. You realize how much, like, he was talking to me, especially for YouTube, right, just to give a measure of how fucking shitty we are. I'll tell you straight up. He said that he was in a business meeting. He's a fitness content creator, I'm sorry. But he was in a meeting with some of the most well-known YouTubers out there. And they were asking, like, how long does it take to prepare a YouTube video for them? They spend 2 weeks of 12 hours preparing for one 15-minute video. 12 hours for 2 weeks just to prepare one video for 15 minutes. You have to realize how much work it takes to just be the best at something. And once you realize that, you realize you can't be the best at more than two.
100%.
Yeah.
It's true. Seriously?
There's levels to this.
Well, and that's why it's so important. We were talking a little bit earlier. You're like, you create the website too. You do it all. And like, yeah, I think it's important as a business owner to learn how to do it all and then figure out which ones you can outsource or who you can hire to do that because your time is usually going to be spent elsewhere where your strengths can really – you know, build, you know.
I'd actually love to hear your thoughts on outsourcing. How did you approach it? When should you be outsourcing? When should you not?
Well, at the beginning of my business, I outsourced sometimes just because I didn't have time for it. And then once I had the time, you know, I wanted to learn it myself. And then once you're able to, it's easier for you to pay somebody else to do something or outsource once you understand all what goes into it. It's like, I don't know, it's a concept of like, you know, you're a movie star and you buy a business that you know nothing about. And then you try to make it successful. But a lot of shit's going to slip through the cracks, if that makes sense. I don't know.
No, but yeah, I got the message.
So I think it's important to try it yourself, try to learn it. If it's absolutely makes you miserable, then outsource it. And if it's not worth your time and it could be spent elsewhere, outsource it. Which is why actually one of the guys that works for me, Lance, not only is it personal trainer, but I also have him doing extra work for me. One of the things being content creation for the business, because I want to spend my – I hate socials, dude. But I've learned it, and I'm getting good at it. And so, like, I'm focusing my social media content energy on the podcast, and now I'm having him do it for the business. Mm-hmm. And I already got one lead over the last 2 weeks just from us being more active on socials.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Great.
And so it's already paid for itself. Yeah, 100%. So – that's my views, yeah.
So you mentioned the DUI a lot. When was this? Like when you were 21 or?
This, I think it was 2018.
Were you like, did you used to live that quote unquote degenerate lifestyle where you're like,
I wouldn't say degenerate, but yeah. I was a bartender. Yeah. I was in the industry, okay. You know?
What was the number one thing that got you out of that, would you say?
A bad acid trip.
Really? Really? Yeah. I mean, whatever gets
you gotta explain that.
What happened?
Well, so, you know, I don't condone any drugs or anything, but I used to dabble with some things, and I was at a, we call it fam squad, right? It's like a big group of us from high school, girls, gals, all this stuff. And we'd get together one, two times a year for different trips. My brother had just like, attempted suicide, and I was not living a healthy lifestyle. And at the back of my mind, like I knew I wasn't doing what I needed to be. And so, and there were acid tests, and I did, and I was tripping, and I just had these like lucid visions and just realized that I was mortal. I don't know what you know about hallucinogenics, but like it removes your ego per se. Anybody ever read Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey? He did like a, I think it was peyote trip.
I've heard
trip.
Of the book though.
It's a great book, great read. He did like a peyote trip, yeah. In
go ahead. I was just gonna ask what it's about.
It's about his life and his views and his story.
Does it have something related to do like those heavy drugs? Is that what
there was one part in there where I think he like stripped naked and walked into like the Brazilian jungle or something, and he was like tripping peyote or something. I don't know what he did. And he just like explains the process. And so if you had listened to it, then you would know. But anyway, so it removes your ego. It's almost like a dream where like you see yourself laying in bed. You see yourself from the outside in. And so it removes like all your ego, all your trappings, all your confidence, right? Anyway, so after that, I just realized that I was mortal. I was going to die, and that I didn't want to die the way I was. And so then like after that, I just turned my life around. Realize how short life is, how fleeting it is, and I feel like I had a lot of years to make up for it. And so ever since, I've just been like freaking throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks, you know.
Wait, so when you take the drug, you don't feel like you're mortal? I'm kind of confused how you connected it.
As far as the acid went, when you take the drug, like, you know, you do it to enjoy it, but I did not enjoy it because I wasn't in the right mental space. And so it just, if you were enjoying it and just chilling, like you're going to be looking at your jeans and you see every single thread, or you're going to like look at a tree and the leaf, you're going to see every single vein in that leaf, and you're just going to like really in touch with with your senses, right? But me, I had like these crazy visions of like, I'm not even going to go into all that. That was dark, man. But then afterwards, I just realized like I didn't want to do what I was doing. I wanted to do more.
If it's what it took.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when I took that edible in ninth grade, I was seeing shit, dude.
Edibles don't really make you see shit.
No, I don't.
It's different, but like you can relate it a little bit.
I'm joking.
Oh, you never did an edible?
No, well, it's all a story.
Oh, really? Oh, see, that's scary. It's sketchy. Yeah, screw that. But I think I answered your question.
I talk too much.
Everybody, cut in.
Well, I'm just.
I was gonna say like I don't want to have to like go to the topic.
No, you don't have to.
Too sensitive,
right?
But I was just gonna ask like, what would be your advice to those that are like struggling with that type of stuff?
Take a badass.
Take a badass.
No. Have you ever heard? Oh man, have you ever heard of microdosing? With like mushrooms.
Yeah. What is it?
Mushrooms, hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Are we about to talk about like DMT and shit? Ayahuasca?
You ever watch the show How to Change Your Mind on Netflix?
No.
So I think there's like 6 episodes. It dives into like 6 different hallucinogenic drugs. And there's all this reach. Go watch the show. It's incredible. I'm not a drug user. I'm not advocating for getting like going and tripping and stuff. But like there's an episode on like DMT, episode on psilocybin, which is the mushroom. There's an episode on, I don't remember all the other ones. Peyote is one, I think, from the desert. I don't know where, but and there's one on psilocybin, and like they use it in therapy for people that have like PTSD or like OCD. You know those people with like tics, they have to do like something 10 times. Like if I were to take my hat off and like put it down, they'd be like, oh no, that ain't right. And it affects your life. And like there's this just crazy research on it where microdosing on psilocybin will help you kind of get outside of your head. It'll help you essentially see yourself from the outside in and help you correct any issues or any weaknesses that you have, if that makes sense.
Just like look at yourself objectively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think people can just do that without drugs?
I think emotional intelligence is extremely important. So read, I think therapy. Anybody do therapy? Anybody ever been in therapy?
No, I have not.
The gym is my therapy.
Yeah. Gym's good therapy, you know, and healthy lifestyle is a good therapy. But being in touch with, like, any past childhood traumas or, you know, any issues that you have. Journaling is very important. It's almost like therapy. It's like self-therapy. So when you write down about what emotions you're feeling, it will sometimes, like, yeah, you know it in your head.
Like it leaves you and it's like.
And you're reading it as if someone else wrote it, right? Like, so journaling, like, you're able to, like, write down. Okay, maybe you're in a bad mood. You don't know why. So sit down, write down about, okay, so this happened.
I think it frees you almost. It's like it's like in there, and then it just kind of leaves you when you write it down.
And there's some really good books out there too on it. How to Unfuck Yourself by Gary Bishop. The Mountain is You by somebody.
You read that, right?
The Mountain is You, phenomenal book. And there's another one. Daring Greatly, I think, is another one. All emotional intelligence books, and there's absolutely drug-free ways to self-actualize.
Yeah, there's this one book, Emotional Intelligence.
And you can cut that whole drug segment out if you want. I don't want to, like, send a message out there for people that, like, I'm not condoning drugs. I just, that was my past experiences.
I don't even mind, like, experimenting with that type of stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
here's one. Don't do it because of me, but I'm not telling you not to do it either.
To each your own.
Right.
The reason why I ask that question is because I feel like a lot of people don't even know what they're getting into. And it's just a good thing for somebody that went through it to tell them on, like, how it is. Because a lot of people really go into it not knowing anything and not even having a fear of understanding what it can cause.
It's not an addictive drug or anything. You know, it's the mushrooms are, I wouldn't recommend acid, but the mushroom is, you know, it's a natural plant. There's nothing done to it. You just eat it. Yeah. It's a God-given thing.
I'm really impressed with how fucking deep your bag is with these books.
I think there was a question earlier about, like, how did I change my ways, right? Get on track. And so the acid trip was just a part of it. But then after that, then I dove into reading. Reading and podcasts. You can't place enough value on that. And I will say that between that bad trip, that was like the onset. But then just reading books and getting educated on things that I wanted, that will set you up for success. And then when you see an opportunity, you're in the right mindset, you know what to look for. You'll see that opportunity when it comes your way, which is what I do with Blackout Training. But if you're not emotionally intelligent, if you're not paying attention, if you're not looking for the opportunity, it'll pass you the fuck by.
Yeah.
So, you know, Unfuck Yourself by Gary John Bishop, that was one of the game changers.
So what's that about? Just to clear your mind and see the opportunities?
Kinda, yeah. I've reread it like two or three times, but I couldn't tell you exactly every topic they touched on. Very mindset, you know, driven, but then
what would you say? How do you identify the opportunity so it doesn't pass by you? What do you practice or do or have learned?
Well, there's like a saying out there, they say success is like, everybody's yawning. Everybody needs more coffee. Success, either that or I'm boring. Success is like the combination of luck and preparation, right? So essentially, like, you just need to be in the right mindset to know that you want to improve and do something. Kind of have an idea of what that is, and then just, like, pay attention to what's happening in your life. Like, I don't know. It's a tough question to answer.
I think it's also taking more opportunities as you go on. Just really accepting many things. Just for the sake of experience and understanding on, like, kind of like what you said, just throw the balls and see what sticks.
Be a yes man, like that show with that movie with Jim Carrey. Remember how he, like, can't say no for a day?
Super uncultured, man.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm older than you too, you know. Like, but be a yes man.
When you were talking about like going outside yourself and, like, looking at yourself objectively. Like, when I used to meditate, like, for 20, 30 minutes a day.
Highly recommend meditation,
I used to really get outside of myself and really just, because I used to just observe myself, like, you know what I mean? I was not the one breathing. I was observing my body breathing.
That's beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I meditated, like, very religiously for a year and a half.
And sometimes I'd be in a meditation for, like, so long, like, I can't get out. You mean, I get trapped in it, but it's like, I don't want to get out of it because I feel so in, like, flow. And,
right.
And that's, like, where you kind of self-actualize and dissolve. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think people can learn how to do those things with their activities and their tasks as well if they're dissolved into it. You know what I mean?
And so I'm glad you brought that up because that's another incredible way. Drug-free, right? Like, just like the journaling, just like the reading, emotional intelligence, but also meditation. Once you do it consistently, maybe 2 weeks, people think it's like, oh, a spiritual thing. It's more of just like a in tune with yourself and your surroundings
being
thing.
Being present.
Present. Into the present. Right. And so, like, once you do it consistently, you can actually call. I don't know about you, but I would, you know, say I was stressed out, busy day, trying to crush the rush at the bar, and I'm getting a little overwhelmed. I would be able to call upon that, like, meditation vibe and just take a couple deep breaths, listen to the sounds around me, count my breaths for a second, and then boom, I'm just, like, peaceful again.
Yeah, because I see, like, all those thoughts that we have in our minds, especially with people, like, you said you have, like, ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, you see so many clouds pass by, and, like, you focus on that big, dark cloud. It's, like, off in the distance, and you won't keep your eye off. It's, like, when people have intrusive thoughts, they can't keep their eye off that, like, dark cloud. It's, like, not even going to touch you, you know what I mean?
It, which brings me into the last thing I wanted to say about this, like, whole cluster, is gratitude. Mm-hmm. So important. I try to say three things that I'm or write it down that I'm grateful for every day. And when you do that, your mindset will just be so much more positive every day. And my wife likes to pair that with not just three things you're grateful for, but three emotions that are related to what you're grateful for. I think that's like very valuable.
Why is it that when he steals your line, you don't flip your shit?
But
when
I saw him over there doing something. What?
When?
It's because my biceps are bigger.
Wait, what do you mean the emotion in the...
So just, so like, let's say, you know, let's try to... Okay, so I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my team that's working for me. And I'm grateful for that delicious dinner I had last night. Right? What? Right?
Yo, it's funny because I was actually going to say that.
But that's the three things you're grateful for. But then, okay... I'm grateful for my wife because she, you know, texts me during the day to make me feel cared for, or she goes out of her way. I'm grateful for my team because they're helping me build my dream. I'm grateful for, what was the third thing I said?
Roasting pig.
What?
Roasting pig.
Roasting pig?
Bro.
Well, that's funny. Slow down when you
say. Oh, I'm grateful for Roasting Pig because they had me on that show and they helped me share some valuable experiences that I've been through to change people, hopefully, you know, influence people.
Right.
Towards something good.
Oh,
right.
That's, I might have to implement that. That's
yeah. Yeah, it's great.
I forget to write because statements after the I am grateful statements.
It helps. So it definitely makes definitely a difference. Does help, it does yeah. make a difference. Because then you get brought back to that emotion, too.
When you just say I am grateful, it's like, it's kind of like you just say it, but it's like, go deeper than that. It's like a shallow, it's like shallow, you know what I mean? Go deeper than that.
Definitely makes a difference.
Say because and the why behind it.
What happens when there's multiple things in your mind, like multiple because's? Or reasons for it.
You write them down.
Yeah, I mean, don't read too much into it. Just the first one that comes to your mind, just write it down. Yeah, don't read too much. As long as you're doing it, you know what I mean?
That's fair. That's a really good point.
Another good book for you guys is, ooh, what's it called? James Clear wrote it. It's a book on Atomic Habits. Incredible book. If you implement that stuff, man, it's life-changing.
I noticed that.
It's as simple as like building habits. Stuff. People think like building habits is sexy. It's not.
No.
It's not really sexy. It's like it's a repetitive. It's you're being persistent.
Just like the gym.
Exactly.
Microcosm of life. That's like the gym. You'll only see that consistency when, you know, you show up day in and day out on the good and the bad, no matter how long, no matter how much of your heart's in it, no matter how motivated you are or aren't. It's a great, great microcosm for life.
100%.
100%. Have you also noticed that with your experience, people you train, maybe it's the consistency that they struggle with so much?
100%. Yeah. Nobody wants to do what I tell them.
So how do you keep them disciplined to stay consistent? Do you change things up in terms of making it a little easier? Because that's one thing he talks about, easy, attractive, all that type of stuff.
Meet them where they are, not where you want them to be. And if what you're doing isn't working, then YouTube, other way, or just freaking get creative. You know?
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Then that's what my wife does with her education company. They specialize in mentoring and mindset, mm-hmm. which is something I think you guys were both talking about earlier. She personally specializes in that. So she doesn't just teach kids. She teaches it's not like a tutor who shows up and teaches you whatever the school is, you know, whatever's due that week for homework. She shows up. She learns how that kid learns. And then customizes her approach to that.
Dude, that's fucking great. Fantastic. Yeah,
that is amazing.
And she's the best at what she does. That's why she's so successful. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, baby.
Shout out.
I think you watch this?
Probably. Hopefully. More views, baby.
I think Gar told you that, right? Like the relationship, him and his wife are like just very special. Yeah, I kind of want to ask you because we say this a lot, that it really matters who you find as a partner in your life, because that determines pretty much a lot of things in your life, especially from that time on. And can you just kind of tell us?
Because Gar said, like, you guys have a really beautiful relationship.
It gets ugly too. It's very, we're very much alike, dude. We're both alphas. We're both ADHD. We're both Virgos. We're both
Virgos?
That's September birthday and so on. That's like the only sign I know actually, because it's mine. I'm not like a big astrology guy, but so we're very much alike, and that can be a problem. And we butt heads, man. We're both very opinionated people. But I will say, my last relationship, her family was all in the health, you know, chiropractors, nurses, that stuff. And they wanted me to go back to school because I had dropped out to be a nurse or something along those lines. And so going from that, and then I launched my business, and they all tried to talk me out of it. But then once they saw that traction, they started being like, oh, I see the vision. Whereas my wife is a business, and also I'd get yelled at all the time because I'm always working. I'm always up late doing stuff, and she didn't understand it. Fast forward to my wife, and she's worse than I am. She works harder than I do. She pulls long hours, and she understands that it's not a 9-to-5. When you go home, you don't get to not think about work. That's all you think about. And so very important, and I think we're going to make it work long term, man. She's a crazy, crazy, beautiful psycho.
That's great. I'm happy for you, bro.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I just got married last October.
Oh, congratulations.
I didn't think I'd ever get married, man. I didn't really believe in it. My parents got divorced. But when you meet the right one, you will know, guys.
I was just about to ask about the ring.
You will know, yeah.
How about
this?
How do you know it?
Well, the minute I saw her, I was talking. Who was I talking to about it? You? Yeah. I'm not going to say I love at first sight, but so she slid in my DMs. She was like, hey, so great to see another local business owner who's my age. And I was like, oh, you should come out to my business group, Next Gen Rotary. We're planning a block party. So she comes out, and she walks in, and she has, like, her backpack on and bright red lipstick, and she just, like, took control of the room. She's, like, an incredible public speaker. She's just, like, very informational and articulate and professional, and I was just looking at her speak, like, and then I asked her out to help me plan the block party. I bought her pizza, and the rest is history. I like worked out with her for 3 months before I even got to take her on a date.
Really?
Yeah. She made me wait for it.
I have a similar thing where I took it really, really slow. The same thing.
Super important, I think.
Maybe you think that's a big reason as to why.
I would say so, yeah. Handsome guys are able to get it early on usually, right? But Here's the difference, though. My wife.
You're a handsome guy.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm relating all of this into the conversation, though. Like, you know, my experience is usually hooking up early on and then exploring that. Right. And that was a back burner thing. We developed, like, friendship and learned each other's, you know, goals, ambitions, connecting morals.
Personality types first.
Right. Before this physical. And so, and number one game changer is because she's a woman that knows what she wants. She sets guidelines, non-negotiables. I knew what the heck I was getting into before I ever dove in.
That's really important.
She's a strong woman, and women aren't good at that. Women, especially younger women, they don't know that. They haven't had the life experience, but she's a different breed.
It's amazing.
That's awesome, man.
So find yourself one like that, boys.
I hope so.
Already have.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on to it.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Let's transition.
Let's bring up the five questions.
So we always finish with five questions for the guests. And then we also have a tradition where our previous guest is going to ask you a question. And therefore, you're going to ask a question for the next guest, not knowing who
it is.
Okay, cool.
Love that. Yeah.
So what is your best advice to somebody in life? Not a very easy one, huh?
You know a lot about a lot of different things. So I know where this can go anywhere.
Read books.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you have to give somebody best life advice? Something that's really going to help them.
Just don't be open-minded and think long-term with every decision you make. Because when I was your guys' age and younger, I was just worried about the here and now, you know? Oh, you know?
Instant gratification type of thing.
Yeah. So, you're not happiest when you get what you want. You're happiest when you're working for it. Mm-hmm. So just always make sure you're working for something, because then you'll always have that deeper level of gratification, and you'll always be challenging yourself for that delayed gratification.
And to strive for something better.
Because what happens when you set a goal and you complete it, you just set the next one?
You gotta. I'm not opposed either to there being like a little hiatus in between. I think it's important to like sometimes slow down and do nothing. I actually recently did that because I was having a hard time with clarity. Mm-hmm. And there were so many different things that I was battling to try to figure out, okay, so where do I invest my time? And so I had to slow down for like 2 weeks and stop taking on so much, and that's important.
Okay. What is it that keeps you going? What's your drive?
I want to create a family legacy. So I want my kids to grow up with like the mayor's son and be connected. I want my kids to be proud of our last name. I want to have a freaking library or at least like a park bench with my name on it one day.
That's so hard. That is so hard.
My question, I actually had someone who said the exact same thing, right? At the end of the day, you have to realize that even the most famous people, did you forget the Queen Elizabeth died?
No.
No?
No.
Well, she did die. When's the last time you thought of her?
I'm pretty sure I was watching that, there's a kind of cool show on Netflix about the royal family. But I feel like I'm taking away from your point, though.
So, there was an emperor, right? Conquered the world.
I haven't thought about it in a long time. Let me just say that. Right, right.
The reality is people, no matter what you do, will never, you know, I'm sorry, but 200 years from now, your name will be not necessarily forgotten, but will anyone remember anything of you? No. So when you say legacy, is it that idea or is it the idea of making an impact towards the future of your family and just inspiring your kids in terms of here's what I've done. I'm going to pave the path forward, clear the path. Be an Auntie Amblo.
It's a healthy mix of the two, man, because I want my kids, you know, ultimately the curse of being a parent is every kid is going to eventually hate their parent or think, you know, you didn't do a good enough job. And I can accept that. Yeah, none of you guys resent your parents for anything. You don't think like, oh, you guys didn't do enough for me in at least one area.
I had a mindset like that. I changed it though, and the sooner you change that, the better.
I've resented my parents though.
At one point,
I think kids because they don't understand.
I'm grateful to my parents. You know, they're very tough people. But there are things that I don't want to replicate in my family one day.
For sure, you don't have to.
Yeah, that I can.
Right, and so.
Doesn't mean you resent your parents for it.
There's some resentment.
Maybe resentment.
I'm not saying it's healthy. It's a driving factor.
It just happens for a reason. So you are the person that even knows not to do that.
Well, see, that's a good point because, you know, all my mistakes in my past and all that, I wouldn't change a thing because it's made me the person I am today. And I have authority to speak on topics that if I had grown up in a clean cut, easy upbringing, go straight to college, white picket fence, marriage, you know, that I wouldn't be able to. So that's a great point, and I agree with you to an extent, right? But so it's a mixture of the two. I want to create financial legacy as well as I don't want to pass any past traumas or faults of my parents or myself on to my kids.
Mm. That's great.
That's very well.
What do you value the most in a person?
Any person. Like, just a random person.
Well, here's the thing.
A friend.
What does all your friends, what's a common characteristic in all of them?
Personal development.
Meet somebody and they have this characteristic, say loyalty, honesty, all that kind of stuff. You just value that so much in a person in general.
Can I say two things?
Any person. Oh, yeah, sure.
Ambition and loyalty. Because if they don't have ambition, I don't want to be around them necessarily because I don't want to be hanging out with people that's settled, whether it be in a relationship or a job or whatever. And then loyalty, you know, someone that sticks with you through the thick and the thin. Like, and those guys from my high school who I still make time for on a weekly to monthly basis, they've seen me through the good and the bad, and they've always been there.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
That's hard.
What is one problem that you see people face in today's society, and how do you think you can overcome that? Tough one,
right? Great questions, guys.
You guys, many times.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
So what is one problem that you see people facing in today's society, and how do you think you can overcome that?
I would say living your life like your loved ones or peers may think you should. So for some people,
doing what you want rather than what somebody else wants you to do, or
building a life for yourself that you want, not maybe your preconceived notions of what it should be.
Okay.
I would relate that to like college versus, you know, entrepreneurship and marriage versus waiting, and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, that's a great point. What is a negative thing that you hear from people that you completely disagree with? Because, you know, sometimes people say all kinds of stuff without even thinking.
A negative thing that people say that I disagree with?
These questions make everybody think.
They're good, man. So. Negative thing that I hate people say that I disagree with. This is going to be controversial in this group, especially the fact that, you know, you need to focus on one thing and just get your you ever hear the 10,000-hour rule?
Yeah.
So, like, any professional sports player, piano.
You work on it for 10,000 hours. Right?
Then if you at least have a little bit of actual God-given skill, then you can be the best at it in any industry or sport or whatever. I argue against that because people start that at such a young age. You know, parents are pushing not all of them, but, like, I see it sometimes. Parents are pushing their kids into play baseball or whatever sport, you know, just 100% all the camps, all the freaking boom, 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 boom. And you never get to stop and, like, experience other things. So I say try the jack-of-all approach first. Gain that clarity after you experience what you do and do not want, and then choose your one thing.
You know,
yeah, I would agree with that too.
Was telling me in the beginning too, right?
Yeah. Keep your options open, but stay focused on something. Would you agree with that, or is
yeah, 100%. Different? No, okay. I agree with that.
And then our question is from our previous guest, Dom. Shout out!
Shout out to him.
Fantastic, Dom. Job. What's your "I made it" moment?
Who?
What was your What was your
if there was one I made a moment, or what is gonna be your I made a moment?
Past I made it moment when I learned how to manage my team. When I finally felt like a good boss. Like I was providing value and I truly cared about them and wasn't just worried about how much money they could make me. And although I can't say I experienced a true, you know, I made
that
it.
That role of a leadership, right? Almost?
Like, yeah, and that was a huge pivotal point, and I will say that, you know, but I'm looking for that next I made it moment.
What do you think? What is it going to be?
I'm going to get a house with my wife.
Before that, what do you think it took as a leader to say I made it? Like, what does a typical leader lack that you kind of what switched?
Learning that you need to invest in your people and truly care about them and play to their strengths, and take advantage of their strengths. You know, like, I don't want my employees to all be the same. I don't want them to do it exactly as I do it. I want them to be different. I want them to play to their strengths, because they can make up for my weaknesses. And that when I learned that, and like sometimes giving to them, even if I'm not receiving anything back, that I would say that.
Great. Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
So thanks for having me on, guys.
What is your question for the next guest?
Do I have to say it now, or can I text it to y'all? I want to think about it. Yeah, I think I'll be able to make it more valuable if I text it to you guys.
Okay. Sounds good.
Just make sure Gar said that too, but he never texted. Son of a gun.
No, I got you guys. I'll think about it.
You're not free yet. All right, we have this last thing, the ornate quote of the fucking day that we'd like the guests to read out.
Oh, nice. All right, quote of the fucking day. The world belongs to those who can keep doing without seeing the results of their doing. Unknown.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
That's good. I like that.
I'm sure everyone does that, though. What? Like, they always are going towards something that they really can't even see. No, they can see, but it's not manifested in physical.
Well, I mean, that's the difference between successful and not successful people is just keep, like I said, throwing shit at the wall or knocking on every door. Try everything. Don't be afraid to fail.
No one regrets hard work. They only regret the work they put it into. But you would never know that if you never did hard work.
Well said.
Wait, can you say that one more time?
The work they put into.
Man, I said that once. And the way I put it,
don't make him say it again. Don't make him say it again. You can always change it in the captions at the bottom.
Right. Yo, we can't even skip, bro. We have to watch it.
Yeah, until the audience, too.
That's the only way it's going to make sense.
I said it perfectly. I'm not going to fuck it up.
Can I plug the businesses?
Yeah, that means you don't understand it.
Yo, what are you talking about? Bro, it's going to be the first thing. All your links in the descriptions. Beautiful. And I don't have you set up the socials for.
It's all locked in.
For the lab.
Launch lab.
Yeah. Yep. Everything's going to be in the
description. Yeah. So we got Black_Out_Training. That's my company. Check it out. Also, www.blackouttraining.com. And then my personal socials, chip_off_the_old_black. And then we got the Launch Lab Syndicate. I believe it's Launch_Lab_Syndicate. Check them out, guys. Appreciate you for having me on, guys.
Yep.
The fact that you know all this is it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know the YouTube and the TikToks. I don't remember those.
It's
the
text.
Yeah. And I'll send you the link trees because it's all linked in there, and that's easier. All
right. Well, with that being said, my final question
shout
to
out.
You. Oh,
fuck. Oh, yeah. Shout out.
Love your podcast.
Bye.
Tickillian. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we love
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Tickillian.
Yeah, he said that right. Yeah, shit. Mm-hmm. Tickillian.
Mm-hmm. And we love you, Tickillian.
What did you want
to
say? One
more? My last question to you is, have you ever finished one of, like, gone through that very end of our podcast?
I have not.
No?
Nope, but I will have to today. Promise.
All right, well, what we do is we like to finish off our episodes by saying our slogan, which
quickly,
is...
Quickly, before that, thank you. Thank you. You're excellent today.
Hopefully we can have you on again.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. Please, be happy to.
Absolutely. We like to say, think big, grow big. So when I count down to three, we're
going to count it down. Yeah, the main camera.
One, two, three.
Think big, grow big.
Peace.